have time for just one last speech today. And I think you all know who the surprise speaker is. We never advertise our foreign speakers who don't have British passports for obvious reasons. But the guy who's here today, Jason Cohn, No White Guilt, he's a very, very special man. He's dedicated his life to the cause of what he's termed white well-being and helping people go free. Go free from all of the negative influences in the modern, degenerate, multicultural society we live in. But Jason has a special place in my heart because when the show that I started this week on the alt-right that got all this started, because you've got to remember, when we started this week on the alt-right, before it became Patriotic Weekly Review, it was a way of bringing people together on a weekly basis with a range of different YouTubers, bloggers, content creators, a way of keeping people in touch. It was meant to be a weekly focal point for the movement so that something bigger could grow from it. And it was always my dream to put on an event like this. It was always my dream to turn this into a real world movement. But there came a point where we didn't have anywhere to host the show. The person who was hosting it, she no longer wanted to host the show. She couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because YouTube weren't letting me live stream. And it looked like all that hard work was going to go down the drain. It looked like everything was going to come to a grinding halt. And people were saying, well, you can come back in a couple of weeks. You can come back maybe in a month when you're allowed to stream. But how many people have we seen start these projects and they have a little bit of downtime and they say, we might be back in 2 weeks. Well, we're going to be back in a month. We'll be back next year. And the show just disappears. Well, because of this man, the show didn't disappear. Because of this man, the show continued to episode 100. Because of this man, the show then became Patriotic Weekly Review. And because of this man, we're here at this meeting today. Please welcome Jason Cohn.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, you have a new British son, I think. I just received word that Donald back home in the United States has decided to make coming from the UK off limits as well. So I don't know that I'll be able to return to the state.
If you all watch me very often, you'll know that my vice is coffee. And that's how I get by. I mean, I had 4 hours of sleep last night, and before that, it was 2 days awake so that I could make it here today and be able to speak and see all to you and see all you wonderful people. And I have to say, after this magnificent, absolutely, I've been to, I started going to conferences 2 decades ago. Jared Taylor, I'm sure you all know who that gentleman is, and attending his magnificent conferences. And by the way, Mark, look, how much time do I have so I can...
As much time as you want.
Right. I don't want to go too long. I try to be right on time when it comes to these sorts of things. So, this has been absolutely splendid. I have to say, if you haven't attended a conference in the United States, in the white positive sphere, by way of the numerous names that has gone by over the years, you'll know that we are typically served by a very different group of people, and we have to be very careful about what we say, what they may put into the food that we then have to consume. All of these things have been considerations over the years. In fact, I've wondered why we haven't, you know, sometimes we will go under some other kind of moniker. We'll say that we're like some kind of computer company or, you know, some software developers. And why don't we develop leaflets to set about on the tables so that if the staff heard somebody saying something like, you know, I really love white people, they would think, oh, it's just those two idiots over there. The rest of these people are just computer geeks. No need to poison their food. Yeah. We'll just poison those two guys' food over there. But yeah, this has been absolutely splendid. The weather has been magnificent. Look at this absolutely beautiful crowd that we have here today. Could not be more magnificent. The room is full. And yet we have this pandemic sweeping over the land. It says so much about the quality of people that we have in the white positive sphere, and specifically right here in the UK with everything that our great leader Mark Collett is doing and the kind of talent that we are pulling together. Says so much about a sea change in what's happening in our world. We have civic nationalism, thank God, is dying. Conservatism, thank God, is dying. And a new age. An absolutely new age, a new nationalism. The old nationalisms the anti-whites have defeated. This nationalism that says, well, even though I have the biospirit of a white man or woman, I have a specific language that we speak. And there's an imaginary line over there. And so therefore, the ones over here that have a different language or a little bit of a different accent, those are not my brothers and sisters. Those are somehow an enemy. And the anti-whites have used that against us time and again. They've gotten us to spill our brothers and sisters' blood time and again. Now we have a new nationalism. We are one people with many countries, not many people with many countries. There never again will be able to divide us the way they have done in the past. And that is one of the reasons why we are able to come together like this. When my dear friend, colleague, and brother Mark Collett said, can you come and speak? Come to the UK, be a part of Patriotic Alternative. Come and speak. I said, absolutely, I'm going to come. Then when we hear about the pandemic sweeping the land and people dying and everything, Mark says, you're still going to come, right? Yes, I'm still going to come. I'm still going to come. Well, the President Donald says he's banning people from Europe. By the way, a bit odd that Donald has no problem banning people from Europe. But Asia, it's just, I don't know. Well, it came from there, Donald. Yeah, but you know, there's something there I just don't want to say out loud. So maybe we'll just, this little region, can we just ban that? But no, all of Europe, there you're not allowed. And now, of course, as my contacts in the government have told me, yes, the UK is tacked on. Yes, everywhere else is going to be tacked on. So I have, potentially I'll be able to find a way back to the US on a military aircraft with some connections. We'll see whether that happens or not. I hope they don't push me out the back, because as long as they provide a parachute. But I've got to say this. The speakers have been absolutely magnificent, haven't they? I mean, just from start to finish. I mean, yeah, round of applause. With the exception of that first one, he was kind of dodgy. You know that first one? I don't know about that first one. No, it was absolutely magnificent. And it reminds me of years ago, when I had this good friend of mine, talk about a good friend, and he's come over to my house, my grandparents' home, and just come on, we're going to hang out for the day. And I showed up at the house, and he says, he hollers out, just come in the house. So I go up to the screen door, and there is Cujo, a literal St. Bernard, as big as a male St. Bernard can get, just drooling and growling and barking at me through this screen door. And I was terrified. I was just like, oh, my God, this dog is going to devour me. And he's, no, just come in the house. It'll be fine. And you know, guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's like that taunting moment. Like, are you going to be a coward? Are you not going to come in and just put up with my vicious Cujo dog and just wimp out? You're going to make me put him away? So I remembered that day. I had to just suck it up. I pushed the door open. And I told the dog to get back. And the dog, he slowly backed up, growling still. Had to keep my eye on it because I was waiting. Any minute, this thing is going to lunge like Cujo, take my arm off. But I remembered it for years to come that he had put me, this so-called friend of mine, had put me into this moment where I had to be terrified by this dog. And that reminds me a lot now of today. Mark has put me behind all of these stellar speakers. One after the other has gotten up here, rocking the world. And now, Jason, just go ahead. Just go up and get in front of everybody after these magnificent speakers have gotten up there. Well, Mark, I will tell you this. Many years later, I got him back. Because he came over to my house, and I said, don't mind the growling Doberman Pinscher. No, you did. Be a man. Just walk into the living room and put up with her. So one of these days, we'll get you back. We'll have you follow a bunch of magnificent speakers, and we'll see how much you like that, my friend. But we've had some great speeches today. I mean, Mark started off with what is community, really, and that's what this is all about. And I'll touch upon that as I work through what I'm going to say. I actually don't know exactly what I'm going to say. We'll figure it out as we work along together. How does that sound? But that was a magnificent thing because what Mark is really doing is he's bringing us together into community. And he said something that was really important about digital community because it's not fake. It's real. And yet it's still not quite the same thing as literal or actual community. So we do need to be able to make connections globally because we are a global people. A single people. There's another group of people out there, a little group of people, who have a massive amount of power, and they happen to be a single people with many countries that they live in. We need to be the exact same, a single people with many countries, so that when the folks you all hear, you need a helping hand, and we can give it from the United States, by God, we're going to give it. I'm going to get on the empty airplane and I'm going to fly over with everybody else. And I'm going to cover my face with my blanket every time somebody coughs and sneezes on the plane with their pandemic entering the ventilation system. Or Australia is suddenly going to show up to help us out. Or we will show up to help out our French brothers and sisters as they struggle in their conflict in their nations. That is the kind of connections that the anti-whites don't want us to have. That's why they do everything they can to shut us down. They absolutely cannot have us communicating, bringing together our talent, the connections, the liquidity, all that we need that empowers us, all that they have used over all of these years to empower them. Rest assured, it wasn't just that little group and a little faction of that little group over in this country over here that enabled them to gain so much power in that country. No, it was because when that little group or that faction of that little group, global community needed some help, their brothers came from other lands, money from other lands, ideas from other lands to help them gain the foothold and then the throttle hold on the nation in which they dwelt. And then they, in turn, used that power in other countries around the world. And we have ended up in the state that we are in. We can't sectarianize anymore. And that is really what community is. That's what Mark was touching upon here. That we have a much larger community, a community that is going to look over little differences that at times when we were far more myopic seemed colossal. They were like Grand Canyons, if you all know the United States. We have this little ditch in the United States that we call the Grand Canyon. We saw these little fissures as so meaningful when they were nothing. Now we see for the first time, perhaps in our history since the very beginning, that these little fissures that we thought were so colossal, this little variation on Christianity, this little variation on paganism, this little variation on the colors of a flag or the design on this flag were so meaningful. Or how about this? The little variations in our food or dress or the way we do our hair. All of that seems so meaningful. And now, occupied as we are, dominated as we are by alien peoples in our societies, we finally begin to see the truth that indeed we all have the same biospirit, that of Western kind, and that nothing holds back the hand of the biospirit. He can make us in a great variety. We have so much diversity. Eye color, hair color, skin tone, size, all types of penchants and the like. The hand of the spirit of the West does all of this, brings all of that variety through us. That is the true diversity that we embrace. Every single non-white person, whether they support white well-being or not, when they enter our lands, decreases our diversity. It does not increase our diversity. You see, we've been misled in so many ways, and that's one of the main ways that we have been misled. Then what we had Dion's speech.
My gosh, talk about gut-wrenching. It was just absolutely these stories this poor woman had to, things you had to witness. How just absolutely dreadful. But and poignant, absolutely poignant.
Let me grab my drink.
Because you'll know if you watch my streams, I have the coffee that's right about right here, and it's on that little, it's on a heater. You all can't see it. Keeps it nice and hot for me. And then over here, then you see that glass, and maybe some of you who have the really clear screen, you can see it actually says NWG on the glass. The rest of you is stuck in the antiquated age. It's just, looks like that glass is dirty that he's drinking from. But how touching that you had this poignant moment where you realize that the tears were for us, not for those individuals who are suffering their own actions, what they do to themselves, what indeed is quite normal and natural for them, regrettably. But in our lands, a poison to us. To realize, to put those two things together is something, as I say, poignant and very meaningful. And I really enjoyed that. And of course, we had Simon, and he was talking about bringing new people into the cause. And that's really talking my language right there. Because I want more than anything to help folks go free. Our brothers and sisters out there, the folks we call vagues, to help bring them over. And the time is ripe. Simon is right. When he's talking about these things like a pandemic, we're talking about things that destabilize. And guys, we feel it, but I'll tell you this. If you ask our ladies, they feel it even more so than we do. Because that instability is very upsetting for a lady. And what happens in society when those in power, in this case, the anti-white elites, when those in power, they can't provide that safety and security. They can't provide that sense that tomorrow is going to be just like today. People begin to rescind their loyalties. They begin to look elsewhere in the world for answers to the things that are making their lives miserable, for the things that are disrupting their lives, for the things that make them wonder, is tomorrow going to be a place where the lights come on, where the water, people are talking about bottling water right now, bottle the water, you know, save up the food for the next 3 months. Those are populations, ladies and gentlemen, that are thinking those in power today are not the folks we want in power tomorrow. They're going to be looking for new voices. They need to hear from rational folks who have the same sensibilities that they have, the same sort of likes and dislikes, the same sort of expectations in behavior. Those are the folks they're going to be looking for, and we have to be there for them. And that means, among many other things, those who listen to me, means that we can never look like the antagonist, the bad guy in the anti-white narrative, that story that we all have to live as the real world, when in reality, it's just a storyline. It's a fiction. They take things that happen in the real world, and then they either bury them underfoot or they write them in the sky, depending upon whether or not they serve that narrative or they contradict that narrative. So we have to make sure that when we go to our brothers and sisters around the world, when we speak to them, and here it goes to the community, again, when it's digitally, we need to make sure that we don't talk in the language that the anti-whites have given to those who oppose the anti-whites. We don't dress the way that they want us to dress. You know, I make the joke that it starts off as not a joke when every single one of us in the white positive sphere, when we decide that we want to do something for our people, it is a moment of purest love. It is a moment of pure beauty. And the anti-whites would say this about all of the non-whites around the world when they have these feelings for their people. Because at that moment, you're saying to yourself, whether you remember it or not, because it may have been just a spark in your heart and in your spirit that said, I'm willing to sacrifice myself to make my people better, to recover what has been lost, to recapture our destiny. But then we have the error that is too often made, and that is to say, what does it look like to be somebody who opposes the anti-whites? And we look out into that, the world, which is really their anti-white narrative. And they say, well, you've got to talk a certain way. You've got to use certain words. You've got to dress a certain way. You have to have a weird style of waving to people. And
Then you go out into the world and you try to share this with the world. And you often do research then, and you find out, wow, there was a bunch of lies about this period and that period in history. And you forget what you looked like to the rest of the population. And even though you still are pure in heart and you just have some truths to share, they see the monster that the anti-whites have created for them to see. So that's one of the most important things when we're expanding community, is that what does it look like to be an advocate for white well-being? It looks just like us. It looks like you, young lady. It looks like you, sir. It looks like you, sir, right there. It looks just like us. It looks like a guy swinging a hammer. It looks like a guy climbing a telephone pole. It looks like a guy sitting in a cubicle, typing away, doing the math. And he can do it so well that his eyes are like half closed and it's still going and going and all the numbers in the books come out right. And then some guy with a completely different sounding name shows up to say, well done, now take your pittance of a paycheck and I'm going to go get on my yacht. You know, it looks like that. It looks like a regular person. It looks just like every one of us. So be that person when you go out to spread white well-being. Use our lexicon. Use our verbiage. We had, of course, Laura speaking as well, speaking about demographics and that very important issue, repatriation, of course, very important. And then probably one of my favorite subjects, breeding. I think you talked about that at the beginning. But I always laugh at this. Why aren't you trying to outbreed them? Outbreed them? I mean, you mean like outbreed rabbits? I mean, outbreed. What are you going to outbreed? And then you're gonna try to produce all these children. And then what are they going to be taught? They're going to be taught how to hate the white race because you're not prepared yet. You're not gone free yet. Most of our people are just going to send them off to school, send them off to public schools, or they're going to plop them in front of an iPad or something of this nature, some tablet, and they're going to be learning from the anti-whites. And it's really the stuff that you thought you knew about anti-whiteism. You take a new look at what they're teaching the children today, and if it doesn't induce vomiting faster than Epicac, there's something defective inside of you, because there is something really afoul afoot in our lands. But thank God what we talk about all the time with this changing the societal context and what that means for us and our opportunities. Things like pandemics create these opportunities for us. And then we had Woes. Is he still here? There he is down there. We had Woes talking about the angst and relationships between men and women, the submissiveness of women or that should be there, and the domination by our men that should be there. In fact, to that point, why don't we have all the women in the room stand up? All the women stand up. Okay, now sit down. Woes, that's domination. And you know what's best is that every one of them liked it. All right. What is community? Why is community important? Let me take a look at the phone and the time. So when are we eating? I want to make sure that we're not going too long. Well, all right. See, that's how Mark is. You see, he's a great lad over there. Shows up at the airport. This is what I was going to do. How many in here tonight saw me at the beginning of one of my live streams where I was in a hazmat suit, yellow hazmat suit, had a mask on, had goggles on. This was in the beginning of the Wuhan, are we allowed to even say it now, the Wuhan virus, the Chinese virus. I started one of my streams in that, then I went to a song and then had, you know, the wardrobe change because, God, I wasn't going to wear that the entire time. I could hardly breathe. But what I decided I thought would be hilarious, I thought, I'm going to pack this suit, right, this bright yellow suit. I'm going to put it in my bag, and when I get to Heathrow, and Mark was going to be picking me up, I was going to put this on. the suit on, the mask, the goggles, the whole bit. And then I was going to go out and I was going to get on the phone and I was going to say, Mark, I'm on the corner. I'm in yellow. You can't miss me. He just would have rode right on by, you know. Definitely not picking that crazy American up. But I couldn't do that to him. I left it at home. But it seems like we're going to need it now with the spread of this stuff. I mean, it seems quite dangerous, but there's some legitimacy to it, but there's also some hype. Really, I will just tell you this. The one thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's novel. So it just means that nobody has an immunity to it. And so the governments, if there was nothing else to this, the governments have to act this way because just imagine everybody at your work catching the flu at the exact same time. What would that do to your place of business? Nobody would come to work because everybody would be home for 10 days sick and the business would go under. Now imagine that happening to a hospital. Nobody would be able to give treatment to the people who needed heart treatment or kidney treatment or broken arm or people who had the flu and then they were in serious state. They needed to be treated. Well, now imagine that happening to just about every hospital at the same time. So the idea is the governments, they have to allow this to slowly hit the population so that folks can get sick and they can get better, but life continues. Not everybody gets sick at once. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. It's a legitimate concern, but these measures are just so it lands a little bit easier on us and doesn't send us home all with the ice pack on the head at the exact same time. But community, it's important because in times like this, as with any times, we need to be able to come together. We need to be able to lean on each other. One of the things that is intrinsic to Western kind, the term we use for our people, is that we have this instinctual individualism that, when left to our own devices, is magnificent because we then go out and excel as an individual. And we all have heard of Adam Smith. So the butcher doesn't cut the beef because he wants you and your family to eat well. He cuts the beef because he wants him and his family to eat well. But it ends up feeding your family. And so this hyper-individualism that's quite natural for us ends up being one of those main elements in Western civilization, which, by the way, is just a manifestation, a projection of our biosphere, is one of those elements that's critical to the success of Western civilization. Thank God we haven't. The problem is, in an individualistic world where we are alone, that's a strength. But when you bring in communal peoples, it is an extreme weakness. Could you imagine the boxer who goes into the ring by himself and he allows his opponent to have about 10 of his opposition? They would defeat him every time. And that's what happens to us every single time. I see these excuses, people saying, well, why is it that this little group that has no power whatsoever, except the power to shut down everything, why is it that they're so successful? They must be so bright. Well, sure, they have bright members, but they also have members who are dumb as all heck if you've ever talked with them. What really works out for them is this communal spirit. They always are working together. I'll tell you all a little secret, something quite private. In the work that I do, the fields, I've been in different fields. I grew up in a blue-collar family. I've worked blue-collar jobs. I've worked white-collar jobs. One of those white-collar jobs, I had to make a lot of phone calls. People didn't get to see me on the phone. So occasionally, looking at my surname, when I would call some of these people, they would ask, Kuna, is that Jewish? And it would be Jewish fellows asking me this question. And I would say, no, it's German. And then they'd say, oh, okay. And we would go about the business deal that we had at hand. And then one day, I decided, if another one asks me if this is Jewish, how many times did these fellows become, you know, O'Doyles and all of these sorts of things? They hit our shores and suddenly the name changes and it's... How many times did I wonder if something will change when I said, this is just between all of us, right? Don't tell anybody this little story, okay? This is just our secret. And it called me up, and I was on the phone with one of these fellows, and sure enough, it happened as it's happened before. This particular industry, quite a few of these wonderful people in this industry. And they called me up and they said, Kuna, is that Jewish? And I said, why, yes! Yes, it is. He said, well, that's kind of a strange spelling for it. You know,
And I said, well, you know how it is. You know, we got to change the spelling. It isn't, you know, he couldn't see me, you know. So, but I'll tell you the rest of that in a moment. Anyhow, this happened with the first one. So he said, oh, yes, sure, I know exactly what you mean. And then he proceeded to break about 10 or 11 laws while we were on the phone. He proceeded to tell me, client this, client that, confidentiality agreements out the window, hooking each other up. Whatever you want to do, we can make happen. This is what my client actually has, the ability to do, the resources, etc. Let's make this happen. And I saw for the first time what I had deduced logically prior to that, how this people can be so successful in the body of another. Never did I have like a Brown get on the phone with me, or a Simpson get on the phone with me, or Fletcher, and then them say, wait, are you a white guy? Because if you're a white guy, we are going to set this up. So that is how, my friends, a little insight into how this little group that has no power whatsoever, wonderful people, wear small hats some of the time. That is how this wonderful group of people does so well for themselves. May God cause them to spend all their money on lawsuits and doctors. But that is how they end up doing so well. The punchline to that story was that I ended up having to meet this individual. And as you can imagine, the phenotype that I have, the look on his face when he saw me and realized that he had been had. First time maybe that has ever happened in history, I don't know. But needless to say, he wasn't tickled by that. Didn't say another word. He was very tight-lipped after that. I wonder why. But really what we have going on here with the community, and I will move forward to the end so we can eat. We all want to eat. I know our stomachs are growling, but with community, we build a bond that reunites us with the spirit of the West. The spirit of the West is here with us tonight. This is what's truly inside all of us. This is what truly moves us. It's the reason why when we look out into our grand architecture in the world, irrespective of what it was built to in that particular moment, they might have the name of one God on it, or they might have the name of another God on it, or they might have the name of some general on you've never heard before. Something magical resonates inside of you. That is the biosphere. That's the only thing that has the right to claim your life. That thing that gave you life. That thing that has given you all of the abilities that you have. And here's the exciting thing that everyone needs to think about, is that all of those grand writers, those grand painters, architects, healers, the doctors, the poets, the generals, those warriors, when we've heard those stories about, and they're all true, ladies and gentlemen, when our warriors would be out on the field of conflict and it would be one of our men taking down 10 of theirs, slaying them in the midst of bloody combat and laughing in the midst of that victory, irrespective of the wounds that they had taken. That, my friends, is in every single one of you. All of that talent, all of that courage, all of that ability resides inside of you. And you say, where is it? Why haven't I tapped into it yet? It's because you've been taught to hate yourself. It's because of what we call these mean pathogens. The anti-whites have spent your whole lives teaching you, the eagle, how not to fly, breaking those wings and fettering them to your sides. And you trod in the dust of the earth with the other flightless birds. And you think that that's all you're ever capable of. And all you do from time to time is you look up at the big blue skies and you wonder what the world would look like from that altitude. It is there for you. You have to treat these lies that have been sown into your subconscious minds. You have to go to them and you have to address how wrong they are, how false they are. And the more you treat these things, you'll begin to feel
this new energy coming into you. That is the spirit of the West, the spirit that is with us right now, the spirit that counts time as we live our lives from victory to victory, or if you continue in this path, defeat to defeat, not able to go any further than the flightless birds. That spirit of the West is there for you to tap into. That is what community begins to engender. Beginning in the electronic community, we reach out. Everyone here has reached out into the electronic world and spoken with others. And you've made these contacts. I said it just last night. I don't know which folks here, I would say names, but I don't know which folks here want to keep their faces and their online names separated. But I said, it is good to meet old friends for the first time, because so many of you are old friends to me that I'm meeting face to face for the first time. And it's a brotherhood. It's a sisterhood. It's a peoplehood. It doesn't matter the different accents or the different languages that we speak, that still we're able to make that bond, because we know that we in the real world are a persecuted people because of who we are as white men and women, as Western kind, not any of these superficialities of country or flag or supposed narrative from the past. And coming together as a community digitally first enables us to make those first baby steps, which otherwise we wouldn't be able to make. Why? Because we're too afraid to say these things in public. You know, you can't even imagine the number of times you have been in an elevator with another white person who thinks just like you do, but you were too afraid to say anything, and so was he or she. Because in every TV show and book and movie that you've looked at, you've learned that to say such things is to be immoral, is to be evil. And you have that in the back of your mind telling you the entire time, it is immoral to say something white positive. And that person beside me in that elevator thinks it's immoral too, even though they don't. Plenty of times I've spoken up because I'm one of those folks who just don't care how stupid I look, or how angry somebody else might get with me, or how silly they might think I am. I mean, for God's sakes, I knew I was going to be flying through two international airports, big hubs of Corona Central. So I didn't want to come here infected and infect anybody else. So I wore a mask and goggles the entire time. People were looking at me everywhere I went, like, is this guy from the moon? I mean, is he Buck Rogers? What does he think he is doing? I didn't care. I was just able to come here without Corona. That's all that mattered to me. Which, by the way, when I was younger, that was just, you didn't get coronavirus. It was just called alcoholism. So I don't know why these young people keep changing the names for these things. But you have no idea. So it's digitally that you're able to make that first contact. And this is what happens. And we've been talking about this for some time now. Even though they shut down people like me and Mark and Jared George, my other colleague of ours, even though they shut us down, it's the peer-to-peer communication that is undermining the anti-white narrative. Because the anti-white narrative, one of its principal pillars of its strength, is to convince you that you are alone. Every single one of you, you care about the white race, you right there, brother. You care about the white race. They want you to think no one else in the world does but you. And you didn't know that so many thousands more did until you met them online, until you started talking to them on blog posts and video live feeds, threads under the videos. And by doing so, you began to gain courage. What did the German government do when people began getting into the streets to get angry about this? When the French government began to get into the streets, they put tanks out there. It was not because these people were about to overthrow the government. It was to prevent all of you and all of our tens of millions, hundreds of millions of our brothers and sisters from gaining courage about their positions that they love dearly. The desire to preserve who and what we are, our manifestations, our statues, all these things that they're pulling down. That is the courage they want to prevent us from happening, getting across. And that, my friends, is something that is going to be impossible for them to stop. They can silence me for a week and then I'll come back
I'm like that little rabbit that you put the batteries in. It just keeps, you know, coming back again and again. And they could do the same thing to Mark. He's just going to keep coming back. But it's really your ability to communicate peer to peer about what's happening in your neighborhood, and you're sick of it. In your neighborhood, in this town, or in the town over in Colorado, in the town up in California or Canada or wherever it might be, we see it's all the same. Didn't we hear that today, too? Simon said that, didn't he? Same thing no matter where you go. It's the same anti-white narrative. Doesn't matter whether it's the generals in Spain or here in the UK. Whatever it is, if it troubles anti-whiteism, they're going to smear it, besmirch it, and they're going to make you hate it and feel guilty about it. So at some point, we can say to some degree of accuracy, without digging in the dirt somewhere or without consulting theologians, that we were a single tribe of people. You didn't have the white race just happen into existence all over the place at once. So at some place we can theorize, and yes, our scientists might parse this apart, and that's immaterial. What is material is the tools we need to survive. So at some point, one of those tools we need to survive is that at some point in prehistory, we were a single people. And the world was against us, but we were united. So we had animal predators that tried to slay us, and we defeated them. We had disease that tried to slay us, and we defeated disease. We had other branches of the human tree that tried to defeat us, and we conquered them as well. And we looked, because it is natural for the spirit in us, the spirit of the West, which is with us here tonight. We looked always to that next hill as conquerors to go beyond. What was the next challenge? What was the next thing that we can discover, uncover, and conquer? Disease, the architectural feats. When you think about the cathedral in, is it Cologne? And it took 800 years, I think. Where was it? No, it wasn't Notre Dame. It was the German cathedral. It took 800 years to build this. Now, this is a great testimony to our people, because when they began to build this structure, they did not have the ability to complete it. They knew that they didn't have the science to complete it. And yet they said to themselves, we know our people will figure it out at some point in the future. They had a vision for a tomorrow that they couldn't even put together the tools to create. And yet they knew it would come. They knew the artisans would be trained. They knew the sciences would be uncovered in architecture. And they knew that at some point in the future, that vision would be realized. And isn't that exactly what we see here with this party and with what Mark Collette is doing? We don't have all of the tools today. We don't have all of the liquidity today. But by God, we have the desire. We have the intelligence. We have the drive. We have the willpower. There will be no stopping. We know that the folks will come eventually that have these things to make these things manifest, because we will will it into existence. And because we now look to the spirit of the West and we say, we will sacrifice for you. We will lay down our lives for you. We will reach down into ourselves and acknowledge that that is our truest potential. And just like as is all things, when we reach for those things that we still call magical, just as is the case in all of these ways, we discover that they then come to our aid. Never has a God come to help beggars. Never has a God ever parted the heavens for those who got down on their knees. But by God, he always showed up for those men who stood on their feet. And they raised whatever it was, their staff, their sword, their quill, their books, their voices to the heavens. And they said, no more of whatever the injustices may have been for those times. Not another day. Not another child will suffer. And when they said that, with that resolute voice, with that determination, their gods came forward in those hours. And I tell you now, their gods came forward because they came out of their breasts. They came out of their hearts. They came out of places that we still don't have the power to understand or to see. So there is something happening here tonight. You are part of something truly magical and real. Not just another conference. Not just another gathering of people of like mind who think things that are similar, some disagreements, most agreements. Not just another opportunity to talk amongst friends or to get in our most stylish attire or to share stories or to commiserate with each other. But because these are the first steps, ladies and gentlemen, of a movement that is global for our people. And each one of us are growing in our countries. And here in the UK, you're seeing it right now in Patriotic Alternative. You're seeing it in the form of Mark and Laura and the work that they are doing. And you'll be seeing it elsewhere as well. The spirit of the West will move through these people. Know that today, as you are here, this is not just the conference that we got together just in the midst of the pandemic, which says so much, but that these are steps. These are the days when heaven and earth come together, and our victimizer hears these steps, ladies and gentlemen. They hear that we are trotting the earth again, that the white man is coming together and standing proud and bold and saying no more to voices once too powerful to contradict. No longer do we see them as too powerful. Indeed, these are the first steps, and let the victimizer of our people, let them hear these steps now, and let them hear our voices loud and proud and fearless, that we won't have another day. We won't have a tomorrow that suffers like a yesterday. Let the victimizer know we are coming.
Bye.